So here we are, the start of Advent once again. Comes every year, and every year it comes too soon. And every year we say the same things. We sing the same songs. We say, Merry Christmas. Sing Joy to the World. Say it's the most wonderful time of the year. And the always popular, Jesus is the reason for the season. So what if we didn't just say it? What if we actually believed it? And what if we actually lived so that Jesus was every part of this season? What if we actually lived out Jesus is the reason for the season this year? Now, this is the point where the preacher usually launches into the shame on you Christmas message. Shame on you, church, for being distracted from Jesus and getting caught up in Santa and all of the other things that we do this time of year. Bah, humbug, away with Santa, away with eating and drinking, away with Hallmark movies of the small town baker who returns to find that the love of her life has been there all along. Bah, humbug, we need to get rid of all that stuff that we do for Christmas if we're going to make Jesus the reason for this season. But I'm not going to go that way. I'm thinking more like, what if we added some things? What if we added some things so that it was more than those other things? So Jesus really was the center of the season for us. I mean, it could be something small. I mean, we could even start with the decorations on our Christmas tree. What if our decorations told the story of Jesus' coming? And I mean the whole story and his purpose. You ever notice that there are four Gospels, but at Christmas time we usually hear from just one? Oh, and then maybe a little bit about the wise men? It's always Luke chapter 2. Luke, the story of the shepherds and the manger in Bethlehem. We get stuck on Luke. Sometimes I think we have Luke-mas rather than Christmas. And you know what I'm talking about. I mean, even in Charlie Brown's Christmas, it's a story from Luke that Linus has to tell everybody. Because it's always Luke's. Here, well, you probably recognize him as Linus gives us the Christmas story.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
It's always Luke. It's the sheep and the shepherds over and over again. But you know, Matthew tells a different part of the story of Jesus' coming. And the things that he lifts up have nothing to do with sheep and shepherds. There is no Bethlehem. Matthew's story is quite different. Here's what Matthew wants us to learn about the coming of Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she had given birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. How different that is from the story of that Christmas night. I mean, in Matthew, we get Mary and Joseph about to split up until in an angelic vision, Matthew is told that Jesus is from the Holy Spirit and that they're to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. and that he's also going to fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah that he will be God with us, Emmanuel. That's the story that Matthew gives us of the coming of Christ. And I thought, what among my decorations might actually tell that part of the story? We put up our Christmas tree this week, and we got all the decorations out, and I laid them out on the table and began to look for decorations that might actually tell more than just the story of Santa Claus or the story of Luke chapter 2. And so I began to go through them. I looked for anything that would have Mary and Joseph in Nazareth rather than Bethlehem while she was still pregnant. Nothing, obviously. I looked for something that would have the name Jesus written on it. Didn't even have one of them. I looked for something that would talk about salvation. And I figured a cross was close enough, because the cross is how Jesus got us our salvation from sin. So then I put all the crosses that I had on the decorations, all three of them. I looked for something that would have to do with the prophet Isaiah or any of the Old Testament prophets. Again, nothing. And I looked for Emmanuel, an ornament that said Emmanuel. None of them either. So we're not doing so well. So I thought maybe it would expand the search, not just from what Matthew tells, but from what any of the other Gospels tell about the coming of Jesus. And so I turned to Mark, and here's what Mark says. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So here we have Mark's gospel, and there's no baby at all. It's John the Baptist. I don't know if you knew this, but of the four gospels, only two of them, Matthew and Luke, ever mention the baby Jesus. But all four of them tell of John the Baptist preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. And so I thought maybe I'd look for some John the Baptist ornaments. See if there's something like that in my pile. Instead of wise men with camels, I looked for a guy wearing a camel hair shirt. No. Instead of candy canes and Christmas cookies, I looked for plates of locusts and wild honey. Again, didn't have one of those either. And instead of old little town of Bethlehem, I looked for a guy standing in a river in the wilderness. And again, nada, zip. I don't have a single John the Baptist ornament. How about you? I don't know if you have any either, but what if Jesus is the reason for the season? If we expanded our thinking about Jesus, and what if we had things on our tree that actually told the whole story? The story of his coming and the fulfillment of prophecy and salvation. So I want to challenge you. This Advent, I want to challenge you to see if you can find a John the Baptist ornament or anything that tells the bigger story than what you have. So instead of taking away your Santas from your trees and your other crazy ornaments that you don't even know what they are anymore, find something that tells the story and the deeper story, not just the story from Luke chapter 2, but the bigger picture of who Jesus is. See if you can find that. Because maybe we can add some things to our tree to help keep our focus on Jesus this year. Or perhaps we don't need to have a new decoration, but we need to take a new look at the decorations that we have. You know, almost all of the traditional decorations that we put up at this time of year actually point to that bigger picture of Jesus. We just have forgotten it, or maybe we never knew. In confirmation class, we learned how that Jesus often did miracles as signs of who he was. When he turned the water into wine or when he healed somebody, it wasn't just about that he wanted to do something cool. He wanted to tell people about who he is. When he fed the 5,000, he says, "This is the show, this is the sign that I am the bread of life. I am what feeds your soul." So, what if we looked at the decorations that we do have to that deeper meaning that points to Jesus? Cindy Nelson from our church here, she sent me kind of an Advent calendar entitled Rediscovering Christmas. And there was something for each day. And on one day she wrote this: "The round colored ornaments on the Christmas tree harken back to the apples hung on English trees, reminding us of the sins of humankind." So the round bulbs have their origin in apples, which have their origin in Adam and Eve and the entrance of sin into the human condition. And she also goes on to say, "And Jesus came to save us from our sins so that we could have forgiveness." And then she challenges us on this day to forgive somebody. Jesus came so we could be forgiven. So if Jesus is the reason for this season, why not follow in his footsteps and forgive somebody? So you can look for a John the Baptist ornament, but you might also look for somebody to forgive. Is there somebody you haven't forgiven yet? Somebody that by your action might experience Jesus as the forgiving Savior. Well, we can go on. There's a whole bunch of other ornaments we could look at. We lit the Advent candle today. And today it's one light, and then it'll be two, and then it'll be four, and ultimately we count down to Christmas when we will light the Christ candle in the center. And yes, it's a way to count down, but the Advent candles also are a way to talk about Jesus, who is the light of the world. And we have looked at the stories of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but when John tells the story of Jesus, he doesn't start with the manger. He doesn't even start with John the Baptist. He starts with before creation, because Jesus is not just that baby in the manger in Luke 2. Jesus is also the eternal God, the Word of God. So here's how John starts his gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John goes back to to all eternity. And he says, when Jesus comes, it's the light of the world, and the darkness can't overcome it. So we count down to Christmas with our candles and the growing light, and it points directly to Christ, the eternal light. Now, often our Advent candles are in the form of a wreath. Cindy did a great job in giving us a kind of a fresh look. But Cindy says also this year she discovered what the wreath is all about. When you see wreaths, they too have a message of eternity. See, a wreath never starts and it never ends. It's just a circle. And Jesus in John doesn't start and end. He's eternal. Not only that, we have eternal life with Jesus, never-ending life. And the evergreens and the Christmas trees, they also point to the life that we have in Christ, our Savior. You know, Christmas trees are green in the midst of the dead of winter. And so that greenery points us to life in the face of death that we have through Christ. Jesus himself says in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The evergreens point to that truth of Christ. Christ the eternal. There are so many different ways that our decorations point to Jesus. They all can be signs of this fullness of Christ, beyond just the Luke chapter 2. If we have eyes to see, there's more to Jesus than we may realize, and more of our decorations. But we've spent a lot of time on decorations, and that's just a part of Christmas. There's so many different other parts of Christmas. And I doubt if anyone says that the decorations are really the heart of Christmas, but what thing might be the heart of Christmas for you? I know for some of us, it's the food that we get to eat and all those special Christmas cookies. I lost my wife's grandmother a year ago, and we called her Cookie Grandma because she was the one that would bake buckets and buckets of cookies just to get ready for that one day that you'd see her at Christmas time. And there'd be the sandbuckles and the rosettes and all the fancy cutout cookies. Eating is something that we associate with this time of year. And what if Jesus is the reason for the season, what if even our eating had something to do with Jesus this year? In the Jewish tradition, at their special time of year, Passover, with the Seder dinner, they always pour an extra cup for Elijah. And during the dinner, they go to the door and they open it up to invite Elijah in. And the reason they do that is because in the very last verses of the Old Testament, in Malachi, it says, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So the expectation is that Elijah will come before the Messiah. Now, we don't need to set a cup at the table for Elijah, because really Elijah has already come. Jesus himself says that John the Baptist fulfilled that role of Elijah in preparing for the Messiah. He says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So we don't need to set a cup for Elijah, but what if we set a cup for Jesus? What if we made a place for Jesus? What if we opened our door to Jesus this year? Now, how do we do that? Well, we remember last week's lesson of Matthew 25, where Jesus says, whenever you've done something to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it to me. So what if we set a place for Jesus at our Christmas tea by inviting that lonely neighbor who never gets out? What if we set a place for Jesus at our family gathering by inviting somebody who doesn't have family? What if we set a place for Jesus when we're having parties and we're celebrating by inviting someone else to become a part of it? What if we set a place for Jesus, maybe even by doing the drive-through difference and paying for the lunch or dinner of somebody who comes behind us in line? What if this year Jesus was the reason for the season and we saw Jesus in that extra place we set at our Christmas feast? Now, there's a lot of different ways that we could make Jesus the reason for the season, and we're going to run out of time here, so I can't even go into all of them. But if we really saw Jesus as the reason for the season, we might change the way we decorate, add a few more. We might change our guest list and add a few more. If Jesus is the reason for the season, we might read Luke chapter 2, but then a bit more from Matthew, Mark, and John, and the whole story. Because the season isn't just about boxes and bows, but it also isn't just about babies in a manger. It's the season of the fulfillment of prophecy. It's the season of a Savior, of Emmanuel, God with us. It's the season of Jesus. Let us pray. Oh God, in all that we do this Christmas season, may we recognize you, see you, and invite you to be a part of it. From our ornaments to our table, to the way that we treat one another, may you be the heart of all we do. Amen.